Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Page one, speaking of that, in the Chicago Tribune today, the Attorney General is reviewing Van Dyke's sentence. AG reviewing, says the Tribune headline. And Stacey St. Clair says in her subheadline, unusual intervention follows the ex-cop's seven-year term. So you know, Jason Van Dyke, found guilty of second-degree murder and 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm, goes to jail for about 7 years for the shooting death of Laquan McDonald. And with the way the sentencing and good behavior could work out, he could be out in a few years. He was relieved, and some people were outraged. Maybe one of them is Kwame Raoul. Stacey St. Clair's been writing about that, and she's on the phone. And also on the phone line, we're going to Joe McMahon in about 30 seconds. Hi, Stacey. This is John. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. Did you all see this coming? Was there rumblings afoot after the sentence came down that this might not be the end of this?
No, I mean, quite the opposite. There was sort of a feeling that it was the end of it. With the sentence, the defense signaled that they might not appeal the conviction. So it looked like after Dan Herbert got up and said that, after the verdict or the sentencing, that, you know, this could be over.
Right.
And I think Kwame Raoul change the script on everybody.
That's almost telling, though, in retrospect, right? Because normally they want to appeal it, do anything they can to get another shot at it, having found guilty. But no, this guilty right. verdict was so accommodating to them, the sentence, that they were just like, okay, well, that'll be fine. We'll just sneak out the back door, and everything will be fine. See you in a couple of years. And then there's Kwame
right.
Raoul. Go ahead, Stace.
Go ahead.
No. You're the guest. Go.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, it was possible under the way he was convicted and the sentencing guidelines are written, but he could have gotten over 90 years in prison. Now, that wasn't what the prosecutors were asking for by any stretch, but it was possible. So when you walk in thinking you get 96 years and you end up getting seven, I do think you consider calling it a day and walking away, just accepting it and getting the sentence over with.
The lead prosecutor in this case, as you well know, is Kane County State's Attorney Joe McMahon, and he joins us on WGN. Joe, welcome back. Thanks for giving us some of your time this afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, John. Good to be back with you. Thank you.
Jump into the conversation. What do you think of Kwame Raoul's potential decision here, and did anybody tip their hand that they might do this to you?
Well, you know, under the law, only the appellate court or the Supreme Court actually has the legal authority to review a trial judge's decision on sentencing. So, you know, while this case continues to be a case that generates a lot of interest, rightfully so, you know, I learned about it when I was contacted by the media.
You did not know that Kwame Raoul was going to do this until you heard about it from the press?
I have not spoken with the Attorney General, no.
What's your reaction to the potential here? Do you think it's a good idea to try and lengthen the sentence?
Well, on the length of the sentence, you know, as you know, and people that have followed this case, I asked for a sentence that I thought was appropriate given the conduct, given the charges. And if we kind of turn the clock back a little bit, when I was appointed, the defendant was charged with first-degree murder and official misconduct. We added in the second indictment, we presented additional counts to the grand jury, and they returned an indictment that included first-degree murder and the 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm. Had Mr. Van Dyke been convicted of first-degree murder, those 16 counts would have been absorbed into that decision, and we wouldn't be having this discussion. And in that scenario, the sentence, the minimum sentence would have been 45 years in prison. Now he was found guilty of something less than first-degree murder, and his sentence now potentially could have increased to 96 years. So there's a bit of a discrepancy there, a legal discrepancy. I recognize that. But at the end of the day, he was convicted of second-degree murder plus these additional counts, and his sentence is within the statutory framework of a second-degree murder sentence.
Yeah, but you haven't told me how you feel about that.
Well, I said how I feel in court, and I suggested to the judge that I felt an appropriate sentence was between 18 and 20 years in prison. He gets to make his decision, and I certainly respect the process that he went through and in his decision making, and that's his role. My role is different. My role was to advocate for what I believed then and I believe now was an appropriate sentence.
Okay.
The judge has a different role, and we, you know, I respect his role and his decision.
I think we all respect the process. I'm learning about it as it goes, but I wonder if you felt a little bit of a sense of failing, though you got a conviction and Van Dyke goes to jail, but isn't justice also, isn't the sentencing part of the justice of this thing? And were you disappointed, or did you even feel a small sense of failing in that he didn't go to jail for very long?
I think when I step back and hopefully with the passage of time, what people will remember about this case, both the charges, the prosecution, the trial, the fact that it was a trial by a jury, and the conviction will be that police officer was held accountable, he was convicted of murder, and he was sentenced to prison. And that will be the message. That will be the long-term message that our laws do apply to everybody, and we will step forward and hold everybody accountable, whether they're a police officer, a private citizen, career criminal, what have you. The laws apply equally to all of us. I hope that's the bigger picture that people will take from this case with the passage of time.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's up to people. I mean, some people will see that, and other people will say, wow, they got away with something here. But I also think, and this is maybe, Stacey, I believe you're still on the line. I don't know Kwame that well. I don't remember him campaigning on or offering any rhetoric that would have anticipated this maneuver on his part. Do you?
No, and if I could ask Joe a question, I just wonder what the precedent here is that the AG unilaterally made this announcement without even talking to the trial prosecutors, and that is unorthodox. I wonder if that's ever happened to him before, and I wonder what his reaction was to not even be consulted before the announcement is made.
So I'm unaware of the Attorney General either. You know, certainly Mr. Raul is you know, just sworn in, I think, in the last 2 weeks. But certainly in my experience as the state's attorney, this has not happened. I worked for the Attorney General's office almost 20 years ago. I was unaware of it ever happening at that point. This is an issue that we are certainly looking at. I've talked with the Hunter family about options moving forward. We'll review this and we'll make a decision that hopefully fulfills my responsibility for justice.
I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that. What are you talking about there?
Well, the right outcome here, and part of the right outcome is protecting the verdict post trial. So if there's a writ of mandamus filed, that increases the likelihood that the defendant appeals both his conviction and then challenges his sentence as well. Now, I heard the defense attorney's comments as well. Maybe they will not challenge the sentence, but the longer the prison sentence, the more likely it is a defendant will challenge his conviction on appeal. There's a possibility, I suppose, that the defendant accepts the sentence, accepts the conviction, serves his time, and that does bring some finality of this case to the city. And I do think there's some value in that for the community.
Well, just speaking on behalf of one citizen of the city of Chicago, I don't want to go through this trial again. I mean, I'd hate to see that happen.
You know, John, and that's an important point, because if the case is appealed And as strongly as I feel about the fairness of the proceedings and that the verdict would stand up on appeal, you know, when cases go up on appeal, sometimes they get reversed. Sometimes they get sent back for issues that, you know, I disagree with or nobody really saw coming. If that happens, we're going through this entire process a second time, and I don't think that is in the long-term best interest of the city or the victim's family, and that's my focus.
Okay. Any last questions from you, Stacey? I know you've been following this closely and have been an expert guest for us, Stacey St. Clair from the Tribune.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, one last question, Joe, since I have you on the phone. I just wonder, you know, Dan Herbert said yesterday that Kwame Arul was getting into this, you know, for political reasons, that it was all a political sort of grandstanding by saying he was jumping in like he did. I wonder if you think it's a political move on Kwame's part as well.
No, I don't. But I haven't talked to the Attorney General. I haven't talked with him. So, you know, I don't believe that he's motivated by politics and his interest in this case. This is an important case. But I don't want to speculate as to what his reasons are. Hey, you know, that's a question for him. That's a question for him, not for me.
Mr. McMahon,
would you like to have gotten a call?
Mr. McMahon, this is David Jennings in the WGN newsroom. I have a question because I saw something that came out late last night. I just want to make sure we get this nailed down. Are you, in fact, taking a look at the sentence Judge Gahn handed down with a consideration of going to the state Supreme Court and challenging its validity in light of the law in order to get the high court to order Judge Gahn to resentence him, that is, Van Dyke, under stiffer guidelines?
That is an option, but that is something that I will discuss with my trial team, and very importantly, I'll discuss with the Hunter family.
For the sake of argument, assume that something like that would happen, what would a prosecutor's argument be to the high court to justify requesting them to direct the lower court to resentence a defendant?
So the only time I can petition the Supreme Court is if I'm going to allege that the trial judge violated a mandatory sentencing requirement, as opposed to my desire to challenge what's called a discretionary sentencing decision. I laid out the legal arguments both orally in court and in a pre-sentence pleading that I filed. And as I'm sure you heard, I argued and asked that the defendant be sentenced on both the aggravated battery counts in a consecutive term on some of the counts, and a parallel or a concurrent sentence on the second-degree murder. The judge made a different decision, and that is absolutely his prerogative. So if I'm going to challenge this to the high court, I have to be able to allege that this was a mandatory sentencing requirement that he did not follow, as opposed to a discretionary sentencing decision.
Well, then, are you potentially glad to see what Kwame is doing here? I mean, he might eventually.
And does the Attorney General have standing to do it?
I believe the Attorney General does have standing. Is that correct?
He does, and in fact, a private citizen or a private group could also have standing to file a writ of mandamus.
Well, are you cheering the Attorney General on from the sideline there?
You know, my focus has been on we'll go through the decision process, we'll meet with the victims, extended family, and we'll make a decision after we go through our process.
Really? So you'll consult with McDonald's family members and ask them what they want?
They're entitled to be consulted, and they should be consulted under the Victim's Bill of Rights, and I will absolutely speak with them.
I think I know what they're going to say. I think they're going to ask for a longer sentence.
I think a lot of people would have liked a longer sentence. I asked for a longer sentence. But I also think there is value in certainty and in closure. And if there's a way achieve that, maybe we can get to that point sooner rather than later. And I think that, in the big picture, would be a good thing.
Thank you for your time, sir. Stacey, last question or comment from you?
Joe, you think that the Kwame has standing to go in without your support to challenge it?
I think the Attorney General of the state does have the right to file a writ of mandamus if he chooses to do so, yes.
Okay.
Good to hear you, Joe. Thanks for coming on with us again. The King County State's Attorney, the lead prosecutor in the Jason Van Dyke case, and Stacey St. Clair from the Chicago Tribune. Thank you, Stacey. We'll visit again.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome, Stacey. Bye-bye.
And Joe, thank you both for joining us here on WGN. That's page one story, two big splashes above the fold of the Chicago Tribune today. You didn't see that coming, did you?